the money you need to do all your real estate deals is out there. Just go get it.
Are you a real estate investor looking to sharpen your skills, or a newbie looking to become one? You're in the right place. Welcome to Where Should I Invest? Real Estate Investing in Canada with your host, Sarah Larby.
Hey guys, it's Sarah Larby here, and welcome to another episode of Where Should I Invest? We have a great guest, Daniel St. Jean, today, who's going to be talking about rent-to-owns and how he started and built an empire of over 50 properties currently. Before we get started, I had a few questions from some of you. Thank you for the questions, by the way, guys. Keep them coming. About how I find and screen tenants. And so I wanted to share a few things with you about what I do when I buy my properties and how I make sure that I avoid as much as possible the vacancies and have tenants placed before I actually close on the properties. And so I ended up actually writing an ebook about this that you guys can find on my website. It's the 10 steps to finding, screening, and keeping great tenants. It's free, so just go to saralarby.com and you can download it. A few things from there that I will say that I think is very important is when you close on a property, when you have a property under contract, ask for 4 showings at least. And the reason I ask for 4 showings instead of 2 is because I can use 2 or 3 of those showings to actually bring tenants through and get them to see the property before I actually end up closing on the house. And that's actually helped me a lot in being able to ensure that I have a tenant ready to go before I get possession of the house. So I always still use the last showing to do a final walkthrough the day before. But then there's 3 others. So I can have a group of, or 10 different families come through in one of those 4 showings. And oftentimes I've been very lucky that I've had tenants on the first showing that I've booked, get their, you know, obviously get them to sign a lease agreement, get the last month's rents as the deposit to hold the property. And I've been able to eliminate all vacancies that way. Sometimes I also find tenants different ways by posting on Kijiji and connecting with them first, but with this market and it being definitely more and more difficult finding deals, ask for 4 showings and try and have 10 families come through for each showing so that you guys can get the place rented before you close on it. When I post an ad in order to get the tenants to come through, I use Kijiji mostly in the US. You guys can use Craigslist. And then in the ad, I'll put as much information as I can, but I also ask them for 2 things. 1, to give me a number for me to be able to call them back. And 2, to give me some information about themselves. If they can't do those 2 things, I don't even bother responding to them. If they can, they've clearly read to the bottom of the ad. And there are a lot of ads that you can click and it has a standard message saying, give me some more information about this. I don't even bother responding to those ones. And then I do a complete screening on the phone. So the ones that I have some information about them and their families, and I get some information, or I get at least their phone numbers, I will call them back. And then I have a list of questions that I do ask them, which is in the ebook on the tenant checklist. So you guys can have those. Some of the questions I ask, you know, obviously when they would be moving in, what's your ideal moving in date? Who is moving in? How long they want to live in the current property? How long they've lived in their current property now? What their current rent is? And a lot of other questions that you guys can find. So I do the pre-screening on the phone before I actually schedule a showing. And then, so there's lots of different tips. I have 10 different tips here, even in terms of the application form. And the interview, I added a couple extra pages of my application forms with questions that I want them to fill out. So lots of different things there. If you guys have any questions or anything that you would like me to cover at the start of any podcast, please feel free to send me an email at Sarah with an H, so S-A-R-A-H at saralarby.com. Let me know what you guys would want me to cover at the start of the podcast. And I will see what I can do to help you guys out. Please take a moment to register, subscribe to the podcast, and give it a rating. That is very appreciated and will allow others to find this podcast a lot easier. And so without further ado, let's get on with our interview with Daniel Saint-Jean.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks very much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure.
So for those of you that don't know, Daniel is one of the founders of the So Right Club, which myself and Alfonso are the three co-founders. And I thought it'd be interesting to have Daniel on our show because Daniel's got a ton of experience with rent to own. And I wanted to ask Daniel some questions to be able to find out more about what he's doing. So thanks very much, Daniel. The first question I have for you is, why did you pick real estate investing?
Well, it actually goes back to the summer of 2009. And at that point, Laurel, my wife, and I sat down and sketched out a 7-year plan. And the plan, in order to achieve the plan, to execute the plan, we needed to leave Ottawa. That's where we were living at the time. And I was a contractor for the government, federal government. Ottawa is a good place to do that. And my wife, Laurel, was a consultant for the high-tech industry, which, of course, tons of it in Ottawa. So our money was being made in Ottawa, and we wanted to move to Niagara on the lake, where we would not be able to earn any money from the consulting or jobs that we were doing. So we had to find a way to replace our very comfortable income within a few years. And so we thought, we searched. And then, you know, when you put the question out to the universe, when you say, we need to do that, what do you think? Sometimes the the universe sends you what you're looking for. And that happened in December.
Yeah, so did you know any other investors at the time? Or was it just something that you thought of through reading? Or how did that come about? Like, did you have like one moment you were like, it's real estate, that's the answer?
Well, the universe will send you the answer. So in late November, we get Laurel gets a call from a longtime friend of hers. And she says, I don't know if you're interested, but there's a Rich Dad, Poor Dad seminar 2 weekends from now. Would you come with me? I signed up and I would like to bring you as a guest. Well, Laurel was going to be out of town that weekend. So I said, hey, I'll go. I mean, $250, 3 days of information. Why not? And at that point, I'm not thinking real estate is going to be the answer. But by Sunday night, coming back home with 73 pages of notes from a wonderful presenter, sat down with Laurel and decided, okay, this is our ticket out of Ottawa. We're going to be investing in real estate.
So she was supportive the first time you said that as well?
Yep, absolutely. No issue there. I mean, remember, we had to move to Niagara on the Lake so Laurel could execute, you know, our 7-year plan. And so when I said, from what I learned this weekend, real estate and in particular rent owned can be the solution for us moving away from here, she was on board.
Amazing. So tell me about your first property that you guys purchased, or your first deal.
Well, December 2009 is when we decided we were going to do that, real estate. And so January was busy with incorporating documents, papers. Our business started on February 1st, 2010. So we're just coming up to 8 years now. And the first thing we did was to join OREO. We lived in Ottawa, so that was the thing to do. Ottawa Real Estate Investment Organization. It's pretty much the only show in town. So we joined. And when our first deal looked like it was going to happen, which, you know, we had to put ads and get tenant buyers, potential tenant buyers. So that was in May. We talked to somebody at OREO and they said, sure, let's do that. And September was our first deal, 2010.
So that was a pretty quick time frame. You didn't spend too much time, I guess, with the analysis paralysis.
No, we are experienced business people and we know all about analysis paralysis, and never does anybody any good.
No. Now you mentioned tenant buyers, and what do you do to find these tenant buyers?
Are you asking me how we find those tenant buyers?
Yeah. So you basically do a lot of lease to own, and you mentioned tenant buyers that you found them through an ad or something like that.
Yes. up to today, and it's still the case, about 75% of our tenant buyers come from our Kijiji ads. We have a commercial account with Kijiji, so we have a lot of ads in a lot of cities, and that's where 75% of our tenant buyers come from. And the rest comes from a mix of referrals from mortgage brokers or realtors.
So that's interesting. So when you post these ads, what is it that you're looking for in the tenant buyers?
The misconception about rent-to-own is that it's for people with no money. No, that is not the case. What we're looking for are people with good income, good jobs. They have the down payment. They can afford a higher monthly rent, but they have some credit issues. And I'm not saying they have bad credit. I'm saying they have credit issues, which, you know, there's a whole variety of things that somebody can do or be in a situation where their credit is bruised, not necessarily because they were stupid and they did not pay that darn bill and went into collection. That would be a rare case. It's self-employed or people who make a lot of money but don't declare all their money, or new into the country and they don't have established credit. So we're looking for people who are doing well, but they can't get a mortgage because of their credit. So this is ideal and this is the perfect tenant buyer, because they will be able to give the down payment, they will be able to cover the high monthly rent, and they will be able to they will work with our credit repair specialist over the next 3 years. Usually it's a three-year deal, and they'll be, if everything goes well, they'll be able to qualify for mortgage at the end and buy the house as planned.
So that's great. And you don't have to worry about as much maintenance, I'm sure, as if you were a regular landlord.
Well, no, that's true. When people ask me, why do I do rent own? I think it's the best win-win-win situation that you can create. There is a huge market out there for people who could use rent own. And year after year, as the lending rules get tougher and tougher and more conditions, more and more people fall in the category of, well, they could buy a house if through a rent own. The tenant buyers, as you mentioned, look after the property. That's in the contract, and they're responsible for $2,000 a year of repair and maintenance. That's a lot of plugged toilets and broken screen doors and whatever. Some of them do improvements to the house because they know they're going to buy it in 3 years. So if they're smart, they're going to improve the value of it while they are, you know, before they buy it. And so we don't need a property manager. We're setting up this week number 43, and we don't need a property manager for any of them. There's great profit to be had, and the cash flow is absolutely amazing. So rent to own all the way.
Yeah, that's amazing. So how did you, so 43, that's incredible. And you started in 2010. How did you scale up that quickly?
Well, remember my little story there at the beginning. This is not a situation where we were sitting there and said, how could we earn an extra $500 a month so we can take a little vacation? We had to replace a very, very comfortable income within, you know, 3, 4, 5 years so we could move out of Ottawa. So from day one, we knew we were going to do this in, you know, volume, not two or three or four. I don't think that I would have expected to do 43 in this short period of time, but we did one in 2010. We only did three in 2011, but now we knew what we were doing. We had a really good team. We had a lot of investors ready to go. So in the summer of 2012, we did 12 in 8 weeks. So shoot me now, that was crazy. But so after that, it was just like, okay, I guess we're doing this in a big way.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I guess it gets easier and easier as you do them.
Well, yes. And now, I mean, seriously, I can have a conversation with a potential tenant buyer, 10 minutes on the phone. I already know right off the bat, know the question to ask, know what to look for. And it's yes or no. Then call, send an email to half a dozen investors. And within 15 minutes, I'll have probably a buyer and all the financing and everything I need. So yes, I think the expression is I could do those in my sleep now after you've done so many.
That's right. I mean, it is pretty incredible. So you definitely have a different story, being that you started not that long ago and you've got 43 properties and you're still going. I mean, you're buying deals daily, or, you know, you're still looking for deals anyways.
Yep, definitely. Well, I definitely want to go to, we have a little bit of a project that's coming soon, but before we get with that project, I want to get to number 50. I definitely want to get to number 50 before the summer. So I'm working at it.
So do you do only lease to owns, or do you have any regular buy and hold properties, or have you done anything else like flips?
Yes. Well, once we knew in the fall of 2013, once we could see that we would be able to move in the summer of 2014, so Laurel could go back to school full time in the fall of 2014, which was part of the 7-year plan. Once we saw in the fall of 2013 that we were going to be able to leave Ottawa, we came to Niagara-on-the-Lake to buy a house for ourselves. And while we were in the office, and this is a long story, but I'll make it very short. While we were in the office, we realized, looking at the potential, because these houses were not built, they were part of a development. That was the last 50 houses that they were building in that development. We realized right away that this could be a good investment if we bought a couple more to rent. So we decided to buy 3 more. And then the next day we went back and bought 8 more. So by the time we left on the second day, we had signed to purchase 12 pre-construction houses here in Niagara-on-the-Lake. And one was for us, the other 11 were for rental, buy and hold, executive rental, because they're really nice houses in a really nice neighborhood. I can walk to the golf course here in about 5 minutes.
So that's amazing. And I think a lot of listeners are probably wondering how are you doing it? Like, how do you have enough, you know, maybe money or ability to scale so fast? Are you doing many joint ventures?
I'm only doing joint ventures. See, when we started in 2010, we were not able to go to the bank and buy a house. That was back then, because since then we've bought 8 ourselves. I mean, first mortgage. But back in 2010, we owned a house then, but we were not able to go to the bank and get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 mortgages. And certainly we did not have $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in cash sitting in the bank, you know, so we could put the 28% down payment. So right from the start, it was evident that we had to do joint ventures. That's what we've done. So 43 rent own our house and 11 buy and hold, that's 55 properties. All 55 were done through joint ventures.
And you're the active partner in the joint ventures. Like, you're finding the tenants, you're finding the houses with the tenants. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think somebody was using the term the other day, I'm the transaction engineer. So I like that, because really that's what it is. We're just putting all the pieces together and then everybody wins. So that's what we do. And the legal term, though, from CRA is that we are the beneficial owners of these properties, which means in the way we structure our deals, we're responsible for everything. Our joint ventures are all silent partner, hands off and hassle free.
Yeah, you're in a good spot for sure. That's awesome. So I have a question about, you know, once the tenant reaches out to you, if they want a specific house, like, you have them pick whatever house they want that they can afford, or is there a specific area that you say, well, I want to stay within this area, or are you open to whatever they want?
Usually as part of the initial conversation is I will ask them, you know, so where are you looking at buying? If they say downtown Toronto, that's the end of the conversation. Or if they say we want to be in that little town there, you know, like 500 people in Northern Ontario, whatever it is. Again, I know my investors will not be interested, so let's not waste any time. But that's rare. Or last week somebody said, I want to buy a small farm. We don't do that.
Right.
But I would say 98% of the time when I'm talking to somebody, they're looking for a single family home. They usually have kids, you know, they want something in the near schools and transportation, which is fine, because that's what we want. We want a house that if something goes wrong with the rent to own, we can rent easily or we can sell easily. So mostly we like Brantford, we like Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph, Cambridge, Milton, and here, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Niagara Falls, Stony Creek. This is where we like to do a business. We have a fair amount around Ottawa, but that's because we started, you know, a few years back. So for the few years, we were mostly doing the ones in Ottawa. But I think by the end of this year, most of them will be gone.
So how much traveling are you doing?
You mean for business or for fun?
For business.
Not much. I go to Ottawa once in a while, but when I go to Ottawa, it's not, sometimes I'll make 3 or 4 trips in a row without ever visiting any of the 10 buyers, because we still have lots of people we know there, have friends there. We love to go to the National Arts Center. So, and then of course there's the Blues Festival in the summer. There's all kinds of things happening in and around Ottawa. So we go for quote unquote business, but sometimes we can go months and months and months and months without visiting any of the 10 buyers because we don't need to. And all the other ones that we have in this area, again, maybe I think that sometime at the end of February, I'll take a Saturday and go to Cambridge, Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph. And in that afternoon, I'll just go visit people for a little 15 minute. Hi, how are you doing? Any issues, whatever. And that's it. I mean, then it might be summer the next time I go there.
Okay, that sounds good. And so you did mention when you were speaking, if something goes wrong, what are the things that can go wrong with the lease to owns?
Well, so far we've closed quite a few, because right now, and including the one that we're going to close next week, we have 33 properties we're looking after. So as you know, from 55 to 33, that means we've closed quite a few. 20 closed successfully and 2 went south. And what I mean by that is, in both cases, the couple separated. So, you know, you're halfway through the deal in year 2 and the couple decide to separate. Well, when you were combining their income, it was okay that they were to get a mortgage and buy the house. Now, each individually doesn't make enough to buy the house. So out they go, and we sell the property. In both cases, we sold the property. So okay. It happens. We are not marriage counselors.
No, exactly. Well, that's pretty good odds that only 2 of them that happened, and then the rest of them have been closing. So that's good. I mean, that's how you want to do a lease to own.
Yeah.
So what are some lessons that you've learned so far in your real estate investing career?
Well, the obvious one for people who know what we've accomplished is that you don't need, and this is a big myth out there. And I don't know the level of the people who are listening to your podcast. I don't know where they are in their investing career, but if there's anybody out there who's still thinking about it because they don't have the money or they don't have the credit to go ahead and do real estate investing, it's a myth. I mean, come on, we started with no credit and no money. And that house we're buying next week, that will take us over the $20 million acquisition in the last 8 years with 0 money and no credit. So it's a myth. That's one of the lessons I've learned. You can build a huge portfolio even if you have no money and you have no credit.
Yeah, that's a great point. I remember a couple months ago at our So Right meeting, you presented your keys or formula for success. Do you want to briefly review what your formula for success is?
Sure, but just before I do that, there's 2 more quick lessons, if you'll allow me. Very quick lessons.
Yeah, of course.
The second one is you can do anything you can think of if you surround yourself with the right people. So in real estate investing, team, your network in real estate is your network. There's no question about that. And the third one I want to share is you don't have to do real estate like everybody else is doing it. Everybody in the country does their joint venture agreement a certain way. We are the only people who do it a different way, and it's okay. And it's worked 55 times, and you know, it's working. And you, of all people, would agree with what I just said, because that one time when you gave a little 10-minute presentation at the little group that we had before So Right, mm-hmm. I was so impressed with your creativity, how you were finding tenants, sometimes finding the tenants before acquiring the houses. I don't know anybody else who does that. That was brilliant. And this is one of the reasons why originally I invited you to come be a founder of So Right, because I thought, wow, this girl is creative and we need people like you. So this is the other lesson. You don't have to be and do like everybody else is doing. It's totally okay to go right, left, right, left, right, left when everybody else is going left, right, left, right, left, right. You can still do well in real estate by not following the trend.
I 100% agree. And I was also looking at what are some of the things that were preventing me from moving forward. And I had to do it that way initially because my spouse was so worried about having a bad tenant. So I said, okay, how can I be creative to make him as comfortable as possible and enjoy this as much as possible. And so that was how we got in the game. And I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty good. We actually have better attendance than most by doing it this way. So we kept doing that. It's important to think outside the box, and excuses just don't exist in my book, right? You got to look at what you can do to make it happen.
Exactly. So you were asking, but yeah, that presentation I did at So Right a couple of months ago was entitled 10 key ingredients in our recipe for success. And if anybody's listening to this and they're going to write anything down, there's just one sentence. And that was the opening sentence in the presentation. And it goes as follows. My main business is finding people who will invest in my real estate deals. My main business is finding people who will invest in my real estate deals. So the key ingredients, if you ask me, is, and by the way, real estate is toward the end of the sentence, because it is, in my view, the least important. I mean, this, people are going to be listening to this and going, this guy is, you know, off his rocker. We're talking about real estate investing, and he's saying that real estate is the least important thing on the list. Here's something you have to remember. If you're a dentist, okay, it's a one-man show, right? If you're a dentist, and I mean, you will be busy or you will not be busy depending on how good you are one-on-one with the patient in the chair. You only have to learn one thing, and that is to be a good dentist. Real estate investing has way too many parts to learn real estate investing. Look at all the different parts involved here. The building, the neighborhood, the municipality, the government, the economy. Then you'll be working with accountants, lawyers, realtors, mortgage brokers, lenders, the trades, contractors, inspector, appraisers, and investors. You can't be good at all that. You cannot learn all of that. So what I tell people all the time is be good at what is really key in real estate investing. And in my view, real estate investing is a people business. Yes, we're buying buildings, and yes, we have to, you know, cash flow is important and returns and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, if you are good at all of these things that I named there, and you cannot find investors or you can't deal with people, whether they're your tenants, your tenant buyers, your investors, your lawyer, or the realtors, you're not going to go anywhere. This is a people business. You got to be really, 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 really good at talking with people. You got to build your people skills. And the last thing is you got to treat this as a business. It really annoys me when I go to an event and I meet somebody and then we talk about real estate and then we exchange cards and then he gives me his yoga instructor card or something like that. I'm going, is this a hobby for you? I don't say that, but I'm thinking, is this a hobby? Is this a pastime? Because if it's not, why would you not have spent $15 and get some cards that say real estate investor instead of giving me your mortgage broker card or your employee card or your plumber card? I mean, if you're going to be serious, if you want me to take you seriously, treat this as a business. So sorry, that was a long answer to a short question.
No, I mean, it's true. I actually just got some new ones made, and I'm getting my website updated. So, you know, branding is important and it shows that you're taking it seriously. So you mentioned some of your team members and the broker, lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. How should somebody go and find a team?
Well, one of the keys, and I think actually that was like number 10 to wrap everything up in a nice little bow there at the end of the key ingredients. And that is what I call JAN, which stands for join, attend, network. So in order to give a statistic for that presentation, I did a little research. And what I found is that of all the investors that we've used from day one, remember we've done 55 joint ventures, all the investors we've used, 96% of them, we did not know them on February 1st when we incorporated. So where did we find these people? Well, Oreo, Rain, So Right, Rockstar, and every other club, you know, around the GTA, and there's quite a few. That's where you find them. You join the clubs, you attend, and when you're there, you network, and you do it in a professional way, and you build your network. That's the realtors that we use, mostly all of them come from those meetings. Our lawyer is Shale Rothman from Rain. Our accountant is George Duby, which we met actually at Oreo almost like right from within a couple of months after we started. So almost everybody, inspectors, investors, obviously, we find them out there. They're out there. Everything you need, all the investors you need, all the money you need, all the professionals you need are out there. However, they will not drive to your house on a Tuesday night when you're watching the hockey game and knock on your door and said, hey, Bob, can I do business with you? You got to go out and find them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I learned and met Dahlia through you, and it was your original meetup group that you had, and you mentioned Dahlia, and then I think we talked afterwards and you gave me her information, and then you introduced us. I guess it was worth so much to me because she was able to get me on the path to be able to scale up and not be stuck.
Where did we find Dahlia? Well, we went to one of her weekend seminar, but how did we find out about the seminar? Well, at one of the events, and I can't remember which one, somebody was saying, hey, do you know this mortgage broker? No. Well, here's the information. She's going to give that seminar this weekend in Toronto. Okay, so we'll go. And then by the time we left on Sunday, it was like, okay, she is now our mortgage broker. So I found her by going out there and networking.
And you're a pro at networking. Sometimes you'll go to events and then I'll be inside and listening and you'll be out actually networking.
Yes, actually more than, yeah, I would say probably 75% of the time when I go to an event, it's to spend, I'll spend the whole day in the lobby, just walking back and forth and talking with people sitting down and yeah, because yes, the information inside is very good. Usually we can find it somewhere else, or it's in the case of Rain, for example, I'm a member, so it's recorded and I can listen to it anytime on Saturday morning in my pajamas. What I can do Saturday mornings at home in my pajamas is talking to other investors. So when people walk in that room at Rain, for example, and there was a meeting just a few days ago, they look at the room and what they see is 125 people. Laurel and I walk in that room and we called it the $7 million room. It's probably more like eight now, because that's how much money we found in that room over the years by being a member. So when people say, oh yeah, but it's whatever the amount of money that they charge per month, you know, I don't know. And the time, how much do you want to spend? You know, it's a small amount to spend to find $7 million worth of money that you can invest in your properties. So go out there, join and network.
Right. Okay. Well said. So before we started So Right, you had a smaller group. I wanted to ask you, why did you want to start your own networking group?
I love to network, as you know, and I do as much as I can of it as I can. However, I live in Niagara on the lake. So if you look on the map, I live at the, 10 minutes from here is the river, and that's the border to the US. So I live probably as far as you can live from on this side, from say Whitby, Ajax, and all of these places where a lot of the good meetings are happening. Ajax, Whitby, Pickering, North York, Richmond Hill, Vaughan, and downtown Toronto. So every time I wanted to attend a meeting, it's a long drive there and a long drive back, I was kind of hoping somebody, there would be something really good to attend regularly in the Hamilton, Burlington area. So it's a 45-minute drive instead of an hour and 45-minute drive. So looked around, there was not really anything and nothing regular. So decided that that would be a good place. And then next person I talked to was Alfonso, who lives in Hamilton, and then immediately invited you to come and take a look at being a founder, and you are in Oakville. So all of that worked out fine. And that's the reason why we have the club and where we are. And turning out, it's working out really well, because at the last meeting, when I looked at the business card, there were 29 people in that room that I had never met before, who had never seen me, heard of me or whatever. So it's working well.
Yeah, our turnout, 102 people that were inside that room. We've got a great community.
Yep, exactly. And you know what? Seriously, we give some really, really good information, and it's worth coming for the information. But you know, like they say, come for the information and stay for the network. Arrive earlier, 6:30, and then stay till, but the last time they kicked out about 25 of us at 9:45, even though the meeting ended at 9:45. So that's what's happening. People come, they meet people, They talk, network, and that's how you build a network. That's how you acquire $20 million of properties without a penny of your own.
Absolutely. And I will say as well that it's educational, so it's not a sales pitch at all. It's $25 to get in. And if you guys are brand new listening to this podcast, send me an email. We can let the first, let's just say 10 people in for free to try their first SoRight event.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So what's the next chapter for you? What do you want to do next after this?
Laurel and I have a passion for travel, so we can do a lot with this business. We are going to slow down in the real estate investing, and we are going to get very busy with the other business, because with the other business, and I'm not, this is real about real estate, so I'm not going to extrapolate on that, but with the other business, we can be gone 6 months of the year and really have a vacation as opposed to have a workation, because even the last one there, when we were in South America for 5 weeks, well, we had a closing while we were out, a purchase in December, and then we had a closing in January while we were in South America. So it's not easy to do business when you're out the country. And we, last few years, we were in Spain, Portugal, France, Italy, all over the place. And I'm looking forward to when I can go out and actually have a vacation where no real estate deal is going to happen while I'm away.
That's amazing. I mean, it's very inspiring to see what you've been able to create in 8 years. Congratulations on that. What can you tell others that are inspired and look at that as, oh, you know, I might not ever be able to do that? What can you tell them to help them out?
If you set your mind to it and you make it a plan and you start going out there and you start networking and you start meeting people and you'll meet investors, and within a short period of time, you'll have your team. Once you have ever, and you have a good strategy and you're honest and you're out there to help people and not just to make a quick buck, because it's easy with rent to own to do it. Make a quick buck, but your reputation will be out, kill you in the short term. You go out there with the purpose of helping people and helping your investors make money. You protect their investments like you would, you know, with your life if you have to. And the word gets around, and you get to, I tell this story, and I'm not going to tell it now, but I tell the story about one day when something happened with a mistake that a lawyer made, and I had to find $20,000 like by noon, and I sent 13 emails in the morning, and by noon, if I had taken all the money that was offered to me, I would have found $230,000 in an hour and a half. That doesn't happen overnight, but when you have when you've done the networking, a lot of networking, when you have a network, when people trust you, everything is possible. So that's where I would start, definitely. And also, I would get two books. Is it okay if I recommend two books out there?
Yeah, of course.
The first book I would recommend is by Harvey McKay, and you can buy it on Amazon for $21.70, best investment you'll ever make. And it's called Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty, the best book about networking you will ever find. I mean, you buy it, read it 5 times, implement what he suggests, and the rest will be history. And the other one, which is a little bit more like specific, but it's by Greg, G-R-E-G, Habstritt, H-A-B-S-T-R-I-T-T, and it's called The RRSP Secret. And it's a fabulous book for doing JVs, because we've use about $4 million of RSPs over the last few years. And a lot of the information we got from that book, it will help you buy an incredible number of properties. So I would start right there by investing that $50-something and read those books.
Perfect. So you almost answered one of our lightning round questions, which is our next part of this podcast. I don't know if you want to pick one, but I'm going to essentially ask you a list of questions. Everyone gets the same questions. And just answer them within a minute. And first answer that comes to mind. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Question number one, your favorite real estate investing book ever?
The RSP Secret.
Perfect. Okay, your favorite pastime. What do you like to do for fun when you're not doing real estate?
Travel.
Any favorite travel location?
Oh God, anywhere in Europe, please. Anywhere where there's vineyards. Laurel is a winemaker and a sommelier. And so following her in the vineyards of France, Portugal, Spain, Italy, next year we're going to Australia. This past few months we were in the vineyards of Chile and Argentina. It's a lifetime experience. And so, yeah, sign me on.
Excellent. And then number three, if you lost all of your money and assets tomorrow, how would you start again?
Remember, we started with no money and no credit, so I would do exactly what I've done the exact same way. Money in real estate investing is not important. Let me repeat that. Money in real estate investing is not important as long as you have the network. I promise you, people out there, if you build a network and you're short $20,000 and you have a network and people trust you, you pick up the phone and within two phone calls, you find $20,000. So money is not important.
Okay, good. And then if somebody does have money, if they have, so question number four, if they have $50,000 and they want to know how to get started, how would you tell them to spend that $50,000?
Education, for sure. So join all the groups. Yes, it's going to cost $40 a month for this one and $25 a month for this one and $200 a month for this one. Join all the groups you can find and go out there and network. Find a mentor if you need to and pay them some money to help you accelerate your learning. Memberships. Again, spend money on the education, the membership, the networking, and on having a business that looks professional. So website, business cards, do your documents. If you want to do a JV, you don't go and get one for $20 online or whatever. You get a lawyer to do one for you. I mean, it's very specific to your situation. Will it cost a little bit of money? Yes, but all of this pays you back tenfold. When you're working with people and you're showing them what you've done and so on and so forth, not so much anymore, but there used to be a time where people would print their own business cards at home, you know, the ones where you tear, and then they hand it to you and you can feel with your finger, you know, that these were ripped from a larger page.
Yeah.
And they're talking about all these things that they want to do. And you're going, okay, so you want to do this and you want to do that. You want some of my money, but you can't invest $15 to buy real business cards. Okay, we'll talk. And then, of course, that never happens. So be professional, act professional, look professional, and that will cost a bit of money. Yes, but that's where, if you had $50,000 to start in real estate, that is where I would start.
Okay, excellent. So that's it for our lightning round questions. Thanks, Daniel. Final questions. Where can listeners find you if they wanted to reach out to you?
Well, we have a website, and even though the name of the company is very long, the website URL is very short. SASREG. SASREIG. It stands for Safe and Sound Real Estate Investment Group. And if they go on the website there, they'll find everything they want and everything, all the information on how to find me.
Okay, perfect. And last question, any last words of advice or anything else that you'd like to let the listeners know about?
Yep. And that's usually how I end my presentation on networking. And here it is. All the money you need to do all your real estate deals is out there. Just go get it.
Excellent. Well, on that note, thanks very much, Daniel. We hope that you've enjoyed the episode for today and see you guys in a couple weeks. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Where Should I Invest with your host, Sarah Larby. Make sure to listen in next time. We'll catch you on the next episode of Where Should I Invest?